Today we will take a short look at the background of our scripture. We'll watch a short video and then use our imagination as we dream of a church. Ephesians was written in the late 80s or in the 90s, basically the very late first century. And it is one of the disputed letters of Paul, so Paul probably didn't write it. It was probably one of his followers. And it may or may not have been written in Ephesus or to Ephesus. And it seems very much like the book of Colossians. It was probably a standard letter written by Pauline followers that were sending these letters to house churches after Paul's death to imagine what the church was to look like, act like, together, and dream of how to interact with the outside world. And wow, how much we need to reread and reread Ephesians. What can you imagine the people of God look like or act like? What can you imagine God wants the world to look like or act like? Looking to our scripture, Paul and the book of Ephesians says that there's no longer Jews and Gentiles. Now there's this new thing, this new category called Christ followers or Christians. And I ask you, are Christ followers one group or divided up once again? Somehow when we think we know who the people of God are, we are challenged once again. Do we have an upstairs church and a downstairs church here? And I'm wondering, why are we not talking about improving the basement bathrooms? Well, I have a little video for you. And I just want to tell you a little about it. It is from Tony Campolo. And I'm going to give you the short synopsis to get to the video. He was in Honolulu. It was late one night and he was hungry, so he was looking for a place to eat. And he couldn't find anything to eat on the main street, so he went to a side street. And on the side street, he found this really greasy spoon diner, like really gross. And he goes into the description of how gross it was. And so he orders from a very interesting character, probably the manager or owner of the diner, a cup of coffee and a donut. And so as he thinks about if he really wants to eat the donut and drink the coffee in this really greasy spoon, several prostitutes come in and they sit around him. And he's at the counter, so one prostitute says to the second prostitute, "Tomorrow's my birthday." And the second prostitute says, "That's great. Do you want us to sing you happy birthday? I mean, you know, like, what's the big deal? Blah, blah, blah," and kind of puts the first one down. And the first prostitute says, no big deal. I've never had a party or anything like that before, so, you know, whatever, don't bother. And that's where our video comes in.
Every prostitute in Honolulu was squeezed into this place. I mean, people, it was wall-to-wall prostitutes and me. 3:30 in the morning, the door opens. In comes Agnes and her friends. I got everybody poised, everybody ready. The minute she walks through the door, we yell, "Happy birthday, Agnes!" and all start cheering like mad. I've never seen anybody so stunned in my life. Her knees buckled. They steadied her and got her and sat her down on a chair. And we started singing, "Happy birthday, happy birthday, happy birthday, dear Agnes." And when they brought out the cake, she lost it and started to cry. Harry just stood there with the cake and finally he said, "All right, Agnes, knock it off. Blow out the candles, Agnes. Come on, blow out the candles." She tried and she couldn't, so he blew out the candles and handed her the knife and said, "Now cut the cake. Come on now, cut the cake." She sat there for a long moment, and then she said to me, "Is it all right if I don't cut the cake?" She said, "What I'd really like to do is take the cake home and show it to my mother. I said, it's your cake. She stood up. I said, do you have to do it now? She said, I live two doors down. Let me take the cake home. I'll bring it right back. I promise. She picked up the cake. She pushed through the crowd and out the door. And as the door swung slowly shut, dead silence. The whole group was stunned. I didn't know what to say. Finally, after a few uneasy moments, I said, what do you say we pray? It's weird looking back on it now. A sociologist leading a prayer meeting with a bunch of prostitutes at 3:30 in the morning in a diner in Honolulu was the right thing to do, and I prayed that God would deliver her from what dirty, filthy men had done to her, usually starting like it, you know, when they're about 12 or 13, and then they're ruined and hurt. And when I finished praying that God would make her new, that God would give her back everything that had been taken from her, I said amen and lifted my eyes, and Harry was right in my face. He said, hey, Camp Paulo, you told me you were a sociologist. You're no sociologist. You're a preacher. What kind of church you belong to? In one of those moments when you come up with just the right words, I said, I belong to a church that throws birthday parties for whores at 3:30 in the morning. I thought that was a clever answer. I'll never forget his response. He looked back and he said, no, you don't. No, you don't. He said, I would join a church like that.
Imagine a church like that. Jesus said, community is important. God's big idea was to have church people, Christians, redeem the world with God's help. God's strategic plan for the world was and is us living out our call to what John Wesley called social holiness, to share God's love with all people. Our theme song is imagining what people of God look like, but ways in which they act or behave. Jesus said, love God, love neighbor, both actions. The quote I like from this worship series is, life is about using the whole box of crayons. God gave humanity the gift of imagination. Therefore, we, the church, need to include all kinds of people. People who look like us, people who don't look like us, and we need to be caring and sharing, imagining, loving, and believing in possibilities. Our scripture says, God can do anything, you know, far more than you could ever imagine or guess or request in your wildest dreams. But scripture continues, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 21. He does it not by pushing us around, but by working within us, his spirit deeply and gently within us. Glory to God in the church. Glory to God in the Messiah, in Jesus. Glory down all the generations. Glory through all millennia. Oh, yes. As we use our God-given gift of imagination, as we are stretched and challenged, let's trust what God is telling us. Let's use our imagination and try not to chicken out on God's strategic plan to love everyone. Amen.